This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
This morning on the Breakfast Grill, I am talking to Al Ishal Ishak, the chairman of the MCMC, which stands for the Malaysian Communications and Multimedia Commission. Ishal, very warm welcome to the grill and thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Koo. It's a privilege to be here.
That's right. So this is World Press Freedom Day, and I guess we can start with really your background. You have spent a very long and illustrious career in the corporate world. I think you used to head McCann Worldwide World Group. You used to head Berhad Telecom. You spent some time in Malaysia Airlines, as well as AirAsia. And then you've now landed in a regulatory role and promotional role at MCMC, which kind of like makes us, I have to ask the first question, right? How does your background set you up to head the MCMC?
It's interesting, Koo. Thanks for doing the research on my background. Well, essentially, I've done 8 industry sectors over the last 27 years. Now, I believe there's only a few of us who've done telcos, who've done media, as well as done postal and courier. So that, in a way, gives me a brief background introduction to the various sectors that's under our regulatory purview. But second, I think it's more importantly, it's the various exposure that goes across the requirements in leadership roles across the industries gives us an economic perspective. And this is important. The MCMC is not merely a technology purveyor, etc., but also it plays its part, a huge part, in the infrastructure of the country, hence an economic contribution to the nation's development.
Yeah, it's become quite abundantly clear that the MCMC is kind of like the Securities Commission of the telco sector, yeah? You promote and market and develop the sector, but you also play an equivalent role in regulating and keeping it in rail within the sector. So you've got these two, and sometimes countervailing mandates within the sector because you want to build it out, but you also want to police it in a way, right? So which is the more, which takes the bigger priority for you?
Like life, it's in balance. So you've got essentially 3 industry sectors. Telcos, I know, dominate our time and day for the most part.
Yep.
Nevertheless, we've got the media companies as well, such as Media Prima, BFM, etc. And then there's also Postal and Courier. Now, the balance between development as well as, I wouldn't call it police, but I'm looking at protecting consumer interests, ensuring fair competition happens so that the industry can grow. And we have a very enlightened Communications and Multimedia Act, 1998, which came into effect 1st April 1999. Above and beyond that is also nation building. Because as we know, in the digital world, with the digital economy that we are faced with now, there is no imperative to succeed. You've got to have the infrastructure. You've got to have the foundations, and society is clamoring for that. Industry is aggressive. So we try to strike the balance. It's never perfect, but I think we're all human. We do our best, and we have a very collaborative and inclusive partnership with the industry.
So you've got, as you say, Ishal, 3 broad industry subgroups, the telco sector, the media sector, as well as the postal services sector. Your last position was as chief executive of Post Malaysia. So you've come from the smallest, I guess, sub-segment of your landscape, which then, I guess, brings to mind the buy-in you get from your guys at MCMC. It is an entity which, of course, numbers many, many people. Do you get the sense that you have come in as kind of like almost an outsider to this very compliance regulatory telco position?
Not at all, actually, Koo. Because when you look at my background, fundamentally, I've done technology for a good number of years. I think for 21 years, I was running my own businesses as a small SME entrepreneur in tech. We had offices all over the world. I ran a small MVNO, I think up to from 2008 till 2013, I hold the record of the lowest wholesale rate of MVNO. So there's an element of negotiation with the telcos, but also the telcos appreciating our MVNO plan and strategy back then for certain subsegments. And then, yes, Post-Malaysia. Post-Malaysia, while it may appear to be the smallest or the least significant of the licensees being a postal and courier company, nevertheless, Post-Malaysia is 24,000 employees. It was a huge eye-opener for me to be in Post-Malaysia, to look at the welfare of the staff. 15,880 staff in Post-Malaysia earns below 2,300 ringgit a month, blue collar. How do you deal with that, right? It's a similar situation in Telekom Malaysia, Tenaga Nasional, to a certain extent Malaysia Airlines. So we have our GLCs in that nature. So that, I think, if at all, gave me the insight into large corporations, pillars of the national economy, and how do we manage such institutions. Now remember, Post Malaysia is also the backbone of the nation's e-commerce. Post Malaysia handles approximately 100 million parcels a year. The country faces about 270 million parcels last year. So it's a huge stalwart, and it must drive and progress with technology to do better.
And of course, Post Laju is an excellent service. But you've come to MCMC, and I don't quite know how many people within the workforce there are. When you, in your initial town halls with them, what were your messages to them? What were your priorities to them? What are your key mandates for MCMC going forward?
I must really... I'm blessed. MCMC welcomed me with open arms. We are 809 people, of which approximately 400 are below 40.
Okay.
So it's a significantly young population within the organisation. And as you know, MCMC, most of my senior management have been around for 17 to 19 years. And they have guided me well. We work almost 7 days a week. And now with technology, there's no barrier to location, etc. Some of the key messages on my first day, at 8:30 or 9 o'clock on the first day, 1st October last year, I went straight into a town hall. Key issues, key challenges that we face, we are all aware of. But teamwork gets us all together. So there was a message of inclusiveness. There was a message of there are certain ways that we've done. Now, MCMC is 20 years old. Now, we've done some good. We've had some challenges. And we've had some issues. But life is such. So we progress together. Now, this openness and this aggression to change is a culture that we have started over the last year or so, and we are progressing well. So whether it be in our core business of the universal service provision, in our enforcement, in our dealings with our licensees. Licensees are somewhat our customers. At the same time, we are custodian to the industry. So it is a tough balance. I'm not kidding myself.
Yeah. I mean, you having mentioned some of the staffers, some of the senior staffers, and having been as long as 17 to 19 years there, they would have seen it all. They would have seen several prime ministers come and go as well. And of course, the perceived or otherwise, political interference with MCMC's operations. Some legacy issues, surely. Some people within the organisation which still had to execute on above orders from above as well. Do you get the sense, though, having talked about how half your guys now are under 40, that the winds of change are blowing through MCMC?
I think it's interesting. Now, I know the perception on MCMC, as with the perception on many things, everyone is entitled to their opinion, and we respect that. Nevertheless, as you know, it's a relatively young population. Definitely intellectual organisation, looking at an organisation that operates under a couple of acts, which is a purveyor of the law, etc. We don't get that. So what naturally, there will always be a small percentage of critics, etc. But that's the role of leadership and management. Now, I agreed to take the job because of Malaysia Baru, because of the leadership that in my role in post, I was dealing with Yang Berhormat Minister Gobin, and I felt that this is the right time under his leadership and the vision that he carried last year. Now, he came into office on May 22nd. I entered office 1st of October. So clearly, I had a good couple of months to understand his vision and leadership, as well as the new government. And I felt that as I turned 50 last year, last December, it was the right time. As an entrepreneur, maybe to an extent a bit of a rebel back then in the various sectors. But now, you're in a position, having seen the world across 8 industries, what are we leaving for our children?
Well, you don't look a day over 30, Ishal, if I'm to be honest.
Thank you.
But look, I mean, the YB minister has been very clear about his mandate for his ministry. And I think broadly it goes something like this, right? Connectivity for all at a lower price. I think broadly that's the message. Was that his overriding mandate to you at the MCMC?
Actually, that was one of the baselines, and that was a basic thing. Now, we look at internet access as a basic utility. We have to, right? Without internet access, the rural, the suburban, our children has lesser of a chance to be competitive in the industry, in the education, etc. So he started his double speed, half the price, primarily because the world thought it was impossible. But guess what? Malaysia, our average mobile speed today is 21.1 megabits. The lowest operator is just below 10 megs per second. The highest operator is over 36 megabits per second. That's mobile. Fixed, we moved from 56 in the world last year, February, to this February, 32nd in the world by UCLA. So the proof of the pudding is in the eating, and what Yang Berhormat Minister was trying to prove is nothing is impossible. Yes, there are imperfections. Yes, it will take time. But if we put our hands and heads together, we will get there. And the MCMC is fully behind the government's drive for that. It is a huge, it's a tall order. But with the resources at hand and the support that we've been given, I think we are really progressing well towards the objectives. And hence the NFCP, National Fiberization and Connectivity Plan, which is also driven by the Yang Berhormat Minister Gubin.
I'm talking this morning to Al Ishak, the chairman of the MCMC. After this, we're going to get your views, and I think immediately with the telcos. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
I'm talking this morning to Al Ishak, the chairman of the MCMC, which is the Malaysian Communications and Multimedia Commission, on the grill this morning. Now, Ishak, your biggest, I guess, sub-segment within your landscape are the telco sector, right? The Cellcoms and the Digis of this world and the Maxis of this world. But they also, the telco sector was also one of the most beleaguered in 2018 because of YB ministers' efforts to restructure and to reform the sector. The telco sector have historically, anecdotally speaking, been a bit of a thorn and an advantage to the MCMC. How do you deal with the telco sector now that almost the dust has settled on the transformation and the restructuring that's happened within the mobile sector?
Thanks. In life, the way we deal with good news as well as challenges is with honesty and integrity. And that's how we've taken our principled approach in dealing with all the telcos. Like any other company, they are licensees and they are bound by the law, etc. Now, I wouldn't go as far as to say they were beleaguered by Yang Berhormat Minister's policies, etc. I think the world was going to transition. Now, you saw Apple's results recently, right? Huge dip in the sales of iPhone because consumers were holding back because of 5G, etc., etc. So there was a year of transition. Now, there's also the other aspect, which is in order to bring about competition, in our strive to protect consumer rights, there needs to be some realignment. And those realignments were being mandated by law. In fact, the MSAP, which is touted to be one of the challenges of last year, came into effect on 1st January last year. It took 5 years, and the telcos had agreed to it. So some of these activities or initiatives that were done were just a question of putting, you know, pen to paper, getting it done. There was a period of transition. But I think you will see that by now, consumers have benefited. Now, you saw Maxis's results last week and the various telcos. I think there were some write-offs because of their past investments and all that. But generally, ARPU has gone up. The industry is all the better now. And it is going to be much better with the NFCP, etc. Because the government is committed to this industry. The government knows that this is the main fundamental infrastructure for the digital economy. If we fail, we are not failing for telcos or tech. We're failing for the country, and that is not an option.
And of course, they are also the biggest contributors to the Universal Service Provision Fund.
Absolutely.
As the largest players in the space. More on that later. But what are you going to do in terms of, and we know telecommunications infrastructure are huge hygiene factors, you know, like to coin an industry term, for investment to come into the country. They want to come into a first-class infrastructure and to talk to the rest of the world via the internet. How are you, what are the key priorities for you within the National Fiberization Connectivity Plan for the next 1 year?
We've had a list of 7 objectives. The details can be found at www.nfcp.my, where we have covered the focus of the NFCP, etc. Now, when you look at the fiberization and connectivity, first and foremost, the original plan last year, before last year, was NFP, purely fiberization. Minister felt that this is not an enlightened approach. It has to have connectivity because today we know wireless and cellular can hit speeds to consumers at over 100 megabits to your mobile phone. And we do have areas in Malaysia that have that speed. So ensuring that average 30%, 98% of the populated areas would face 30 megabits per second average is a key objective of the NFCP by 2023. Now, but along the way, there are annual milestones. So, for example, getting selected high-impact areas and state capitals with 500 megabits per second by next year. 1 gigabits per second in more high-impact areas and all of state capitals by 2022. Number three, you're looking at getting the 20% of rural and urban areas with high-speed mobile broadband, whether it's mobile or fixed, etc. Number three, 70%, number five actually, 70% of schools, police stations, state libraries, post offices, hospitals ought to be fiberized. Indeed, these are lofty ambitions. But remember, we are a nation that started a multimedia super corridor, also initiated by the current Prime Minister back then in August 96. So we do have a baseline infrastructure. What we need is to be speedier in our execution, perhaps judicious to some extent, but also to employ technology and to collaborate. The idea of collaborating with the telcos is an important one, and the telcos have been welcoming of this because they own the infrastructure. They have the capex. Each telco, we know some of them have announced 4 billion over 3 years. These are the listed ones. Another one announced 3 billion over 2 years. So combined capex of telcos are in excess of 12, 15 billion ringgit over the next couple of years. Now, combine that with the government infusion from the NFCP, which Yang Berhormat Minister will be announcing in a couple of weeks or a month or so, we hope to have the basis and the mix from financial funding resources to the various initiatives and motivation to execute this.
Alishal Ishak, the chairman of the MCMC, is with us on The Grill this morning, and that is, of course, World Press Freedom Day today. Now, Ishak, you talked about how the listed players are going to be investing in networks and, of course, government funding as well. But you've also got the Universal Service Provision Fund, which is, I think, as I understand it, a fund into which all the license holders contribute per year to be able to reduce the digital divide between the haves and the have-nots, right? So how does this fund interplay with what the listed players are spending themselves, as well as government funding? There's three, by the looks of it, three sources of funding now.
Indeed, yeah. So when you look at that landscape, therein comes the alignment. It's extremely important. So with our work with the telcos, we agreed that April 30th, just a couple of days ago, 2 days ago, they would have updated our database. So MCMC maintains a communications information management system where we have a map of all the towers, of all the copper, of all the fibre in the country. The telcos update that monthly, and now it's updated. Second, by next week, I'm meeting all the CEOs again. We're aligning in terms of CapEx spend. So where, in which areas, in what focuses and emphasis are the telcos putting their CapEx over the next 1 to 2 years in? Now, with that, MCMC / the government can then ensure that we optimise our spend. And this is very important, to avoid overlaps. Optimise our spend in concert with the various investment and focus areas. And this is where the collaborative, inclusive approach of the current government with our licensees come into play. It is very important to not waste a single cent. Time is of essence to get connectivity out. And today, it is quite sad. We are in 2019 and we have segments of society that are still not having a single kind of connection. Now, second to the USP is our Pusat Internets. Do you know that we have 870 Pusat Internets? That's a function of the USP, right? The telcos contribute to the USP and then 870 Pusat Internets. We have about 600,000 registered Malaysians at the Pusat Internet, because when you come to use it, which is free infrastructure for the most part, you register yourselves. 57% of those are students. The Pusat Internet on record has produced or has facilitated 16,898 small-time entrepreneurs, e-commerce entrepreneurs. We've got Puan Irini, I think, from Kedah, where her income rose from 3,000 ringgit to 10,000 ringgit a month doing stingless bee honey. We've got the Sabah case of Tu Hao, where she was earning 8,800 bucks a month to 3,000 a month. So the Pusat Internet, as a form of infrastructure that reaches out to the community, is an imperative to get students, village folk, and areas that are not as well endowed as us in the cities, access.
So clearly some deployment of the funds there, but I think last year when the YB minister came into power, he talked about how there's two funds that came available for audit. One is the MCMC fund, just shy of a billion ringgit, and the other one was the USP fund, shy of 9 billion ringgit. So there's a lot of money there. I guess I presume this fund is being used to award to contractors to build out to lay fiber, to lay cable, to produce Pusat Internet. What is the process for award of these licenses? Bearing in mind that in the past there were allegations of misuse of deployments of funds.
Indeed. Now on this, I personally echo Yang Berhormat Minister's drive, which is, we are not a bank. The funds were contributed by licensees. It is meant to be invested in the country. And as such, it is MCMC's role and imperative to ensure that we process aggressively, but judiciously and well. Indeed, as with what the country has faced over the last 1 year in particular, there's been various allegations across the board. Now, Minister also triggered... Our case, I believe... Minister has triggered the Jabatan Audit Negara. The conclusions have been reported to Minister of Finance as well as our minister. And we found that there were some areas that need improvement, but generally we adhered to process. As with everything else, there are areas that need improvement. But here's the thing. While those allegations appear to be founded or unfounded based on the audit, it is fine. Now, MECC, etc., would carry their investigations, etc., independently. When they come up with their findings, etc., we will hear and support the process required. But more importantly, where do we go from here? And where do we go from here is to ensure that we can process the applications, the identification of USP spend, which needs to go to the community. This is extremely important. And that's why we're aligning the CIMS, we're aligning the CapEx spend with the telcos, and we have an aggressive plan that will be reported to the minister quarterly, and of course, minister will be reporting that to cabinet to ensure that the billions that will be invested by this government into the telecommunications and infrastructure industry that's relevant to tech and communications will be done well and in proper way.
We've got about 30 seconds left to the break, but Ishal, in summation, what are the checks and balances in the deployment of these funds, which might differ from how it used to be done?
My fellow commissioners play a significant role here. There's a reason why independent commissioners have been employed, or rather provided for the MCMC, and we provide a check and balance. Within the commission, we also have the commission committees, ARC, Audit and Risk Committee. We have our NRC, Nomination and Remuneration Committee. We have our Disciplinary Appeals Committee, etc. This is important. Management has a role. Commission or in a public company as a board has a role, and we would have to ensure the check and balance are done appropriately.
I'm talking this morning to Al Ishal Ishak, the chairman of the MCMC. After this, don't go away because we're going to be coming back with 5G and internet freedoms. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
This morning on The Breakfast Grill, we are talking to Al Ishal Ishak, the chairman of the MCMC, which is the Malaysian Communications and Multimedia Commission, on World Press Freedom Day. Now, Ishal, the word of the day, in fact, the flavour of the year has really been 5G, and the commercial possibilities are immeasurable, as we all know. That's quite well settled. But it's the rollout plan and how it's going to be executed in Malaysia, which is the big unknown here. What, at this point in time, is the... MCMC's approach to spectrum allocation and cost of spectrum?
Sure. A bit of background there. During the New Dawn conference last year, that was where Tun Prime Minister gave the keynote, Yang Berhormat Minister Gobind announced a 5G testbed and showcase. That was in October. In November, a month after, we formed a 5G task force. Today, that task force comprises of 108 organizations and institutions ranging from government, academia, commercial, SME, startups, associations, etc. Now, we did a test bit last week. Essentially, a lot of the 2 weeks ago, a lot of the showcase items that you saw in Putrajaya right here in Malaysia were from MWC Barcelona as well, over and above local solutions, etc. So it's about bringing the world solution to Malaysia first. Now, with regards to the spectrum, this is an extremely important national asset. And we need to be judicious, but also enlightened in the way that we approach this going forward. Because 5G, unlike 1 to 4G, is the real economic and industry enabler. The government intends not to profit from the spectrum sale and award, etc., and it will be judicious, primarily because it will drive economic sectors. Manufacturing is 22% of our GDP. Agriculture is 8% of our GDP. So when we look at 5G technologies that enables our industries to be more competitive, across the world, we do need to ensure that the investments and the monies that are of scarce resource goes into area that will benefit the economy.
By not profiting from allocation of 5G, it also means that providers of services will also be able to pass on these cost savings to consumers and end users, which is a good thing. But it also this also comes at a time when the government needs a lot of money. We are in a fiscal position right now because of all the issues of the past. Is this an opportunity for the Malaysian government to perhaps monetize, you know, one of its most valuable assets? And this must be a very difficult decision for the government at this point in time.
Indeed, it's a balance. Now, remember, the government has multiple sources of income. When you talk about spectrum, etc., that's direct income. But I would think that equally important is indirect income. 90% of business establishments in Malaysia are SMEs. 65% of employment in Malaysia are from SMEs. 17% of exports are from SMEs. We really, with MDEC and the various other agencies, multiple agencies across the government, we need to stimulate this economy in order for our businesses to thrive. When businesses thrive, large and small alike, the government gains from employment, from the multiplier effect, from income tax, etc., etc. And this is an extremely important perspective. It is not just the direct income that the government makes, but also the indirect income. So here's the thing. Ministry of Communication and Multimedia, MCMC, is under KKMM, also works collaboratively, which is why I have the numbers at my fingertips, with MOF, because we are essentially an economic enabler over and above a technology facilitator.
So it's quite well settled that your message is very clear. You're not going to be profiting from spectrum allocation, and you're looking at manufacturing and the SME sector in particular. Now, in cold hard details, over the next 12 months, what are the 5G-enabled services and expectations that we can expect from the MCMC?
From the showcase that we had from April 18 to 21st, that was triggering the multiple test beds and showcase which the task force is leading. The task force will complete a report by October, because between now and October, all the showcases are ongoing. And these showcases are across 8 verticals, from agriculture to education, media entertainment, manufacturing, etc., etc. It's all on www.nfcp.my. With the task force reporting to us by end of October, we will collate a report that we, as Malaysia, will bring to the WRC, the Congress, ITU Congress. The WRC meets from October 28th to November 22nd. This is an important 5G ratification or spectrum that we expect to be done there, right? Now, you know that we have done analog switch-off. So infrastructure is ready. MyTV has completed the infrastructure March 31st as planned. We are now confirming and ratifying a few things. We will start with a phased or pilot analog switch-off starting next month, or maybe even end of this month, towards Q3 as promised to Parliament. When we finish analog switch-off by September, 5G Task Force finishes the report by October, WRC is November, we have 6 months to restack our spectrum to be used for 5G, primarily the 700 megahertz, but there are also other frequency range that we are looking at. So in Q2 next year, we will be ready to discuss, to execute our 5G spectrum allocation for industry, where we expect the installations for 5G to begin around October, which is Q3 2020, towards a commercial rollout for 2021. But that's for consumer. When you look at industry, based on the report that we expect to get in October/November this year, there may be recommendations for certain high-impact industrial areas to have 5G first. And that's all right, because these are stimulus, these are catalysts for specific industry sectors to adopt 5G at an early pace, an early day, because ROI is their justification will be there. So we have high expectations on this task force, and so far they've not disappointed us. In fact, the showcase was one of the highlights of this task force.
There's a flip side to the whole 5G discussion as well, though, Ishal. One, of course, relates to health and electromagnetic frequency, the health risks thereof. I think in certain data and surveys, there's risks of even of cancer being mentioned. There's also privacy issues with regard to Huawei. Huawei controls a lion's share of 5G hardware, and they've been banned by certain countries around the world, including the Americans. I think privacy and data transgressions have been alleged. What is your approach to these other non-commercial issues?
Very, very important, equally important. So let me take that in two parts. First, RFEMF. The home to go to is rfemf.mcmc.gov.my. There we have reports, we have research findings and various media publications with regards to RFEMF. In summary, RF EMF is essentially non-ionizing radiation frequency.
So it's safe, are you saying?
It is safe. It is safe.
Hand on heart, yes. MCMC chairman.
Yes.
Is EMF safe? Is 5G safe for the child at home?
Definitely. It has no ability to impact our molecules at a cellular level. All that is generated is heat. Right, we have Professor Tariq, who is one of our commissioners, and he's an expert in spectrum, etc. I think we did a press release on April 15th or so on that. But just go to rfemf.mcmc.gov.my and details are there. Secondly, the World Health Organization, not just MCMC, did a research over 30 years across 25,000 research publications. And clearly, there's no impact on that. And I think you spoke to Bjorn Sandberg last week.
That's right,
Telenor, right?
He said he sleeps next to the router.
There you go, yeah, yeah. Okay. My router is not quite as close. We tried, you know, because in the room, there's space and TV, etc. But yeah, it is definitely safe and it has no impact on the human and cellular level. Now, the second issue, which is equally interesting, Huawei. Clearly, there are various allegations across the board. And
as far back as 2003.
2003, right. Now, here is our position. Now, the Huawei report was done by the National Cybersecurity Agency, NACSA, in collaboration with MCMC, as well as Cybersecurity Malaysia. They have concluded a report and provided that report to Yang Berhormat Minister, as well as Tun Prime Minister, a couple of weeks ago. Here are the few pillars. Number one, whether it's Huawei or any other manufacturer, Nokia, ZTE, Ericsson, we need to hold manufacturers of communications equipment to standards. There are global standards, and we have the right to impose our own localized standards, and this is something that we will do. Second, remember, all these big four manufacturers also have thousands of companies in their supply chain. We need to ensure that the supply chain also adheres to the standards, stringent standards that's global and some informed or imposed by Malaysia. Third, as with everything else in life, we cannot have dominance by one manufacturer across our core national networks and across the various other forms of networks in the country. So diversity breeds competition. Diversity will have these companies invest in cybersecurity, in protection, as well as in other R&D that will benefit our operators and our service providers as a whole.
Now, of course, the parallel role that you play at MCMC is policing and making sure, well, I know you said that word is too strong, but to basically regulate the landscape to make sure that the consumers receive a fair shake of the dice. What is your stand on Section 211 and Section 233 of the CMA 1998? I think these relate really to freedom of expression online. And this also relates to the subjectivity of, and interpretation of comments made on the internet.
I mean, this has been a much-touted issue, etc., and will remain so. Freedom of expression is not a carte blanche to do anything we want. There's an element of transparency. There's a huge element, expectation of responsibility. I don't know whether you're a parent. I'm a parent. I've got two kids, right? When we at home, you have rules, you have principles, you have policies. The freedom of expression cannot be at the expense of human dignity. There are liberties to this, right? Jadi, when we look at Section 233, it is meant to govern a certain segment, the potential for abuse, etc. Now, there is a process of this current government looking at the Penal Code and the MCMA 98 in order to ratify and align all that. Clearly, this is part of the new government's initiatives to optimize and to realign the aspects of governance in the country. It is very clear. For example, lately, you and I, and I'm sure our listeners here would agree, the current social media abuse that has gone way out of hand is not something that we would condone. But here's the reason why. Hootsuite and We Are Social, came out with a report end of last year. Malaysia is the top 5 country in the world when it comes to social media use, and definitely the number one in ASEAN. And here, guess what? Our Malaysians are online 8 hours and 5 minutes a day on average, of which 2 hours and 58 minutes are spent on social media. So naturally, if you like, let's take a glass half full perspective. We are a bit of a melting pot, an experimentation. And this government is working, doing its best to deal with these challenges, but also opportunities that social media presents.
No, you're right. And of course, I think much has been made about Malaysia's 13 million Facebook users. But these are shades of grey, though, Chairman Ishal. Yeah. Because at this point in time, you are the gatekeeper, right? And but the thing is, no job is permanent forever. Indeed. No ethos is permanent forever. And there's no such thing as a permanent position, unlike the Chinese premier, for example. What if down the line there was a change of guard, and these legislations can be used to again to mete out political justice? I think that is the concern going forward.
Indeed, and this is the aspiration of the current government and definitely of the MCMC, which is to institutionalize process, to institutionalize a judicious lens, whereby leadership changes, etc., will not impact the way that we govern, the way that we develop the various industries under our purview. It's a challenge. It's not a perfect world. But I think it begins with an aspiration. It begins with execution. No one thought that May 9 last year could have happened, and it has. It has been an interesting first year. We're coming to that in a couple of days. But I think the future looks bright. As long as we remain humble and have our 2 feet on the ground to acknowledge where we have erred and where we can improve and continue to not be complacent across anything that we do, whether in my role or whether at the industry level or as a rakyat, moderation is key. I think all religions and understanding promotes moderation and tolerance. We need to do that because Malaysia is too beautiful a country to lose.
It's been an honour and a privilege talking to you, Ishal.
Likewise.
Thank you for coming on, and thank you for your honesty and your frankness. We were talking to Al Ishal Ishak, the chairman of the MCMC, which is the Malaysian Communications and Multimedia Commission, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile. Now with faster speeds every day. Baru la best.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.